Joseph Gallivan, and you're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week is Nicola Lopez. She's a visual artist based in Brooklyn, New York, and her show Hybrids is on Wednesday, the 17th of July through August 31st at the Elizabeth Leach Gallery. Welcome back to KBOO.
It's great to be here.
So, Nicola, we had you here 5 years ago. And you had a show, I think people remember it as prints with a lot of construction, a lot of towers and frameworks and that kind of thing. They were kind of hybrid buildings, a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
But you're back this time, same gallery, Elizabeth Leach, and the show's called Hybrids, and it's very different. Because you're kind of blending, you know, natural materials with buildings. So it's basically trees and kind of structures.
That's right.
So what's happened to you in 5 years? Have you gone all hippie on us?
I'm working on it.
It's all trees.
Yeah, it is. I think it does look very different in some ways. I think that reference to nature and the natural world is more overt, so it would be easy to walk in and say, "What's happened to you? You know, what's going on here?" And, but in other ways, I think that it really is kind of an extension of a similar conversation, as you just said. The work before also had kind of a hybrid quality to it. It had buildings that were built on top of one another, things that were kind of clinging together that you might not find that way in kind of the quote unquote, you know, real world. Almost as though they were growing naturally, almost as though there was this kind of organic pattern to their growth and even to their kind of decay. There was a lot of reference in that show to the building and unbuilding of things. And so for me, that's been an ongoing conversation that has always linked it to the natural world, to this kind of connection between our built environment and our natural environment. And I hesitate to distinguish them so clearly because I don't find them to be absolute opposites at all. I think that there are very deep connections. And I think when we forget that is when we get into trouble, like we are, you know, in so many ways right now. But that connection and that echo in the way that even in the world that we think of as so distinctly human, there are so many patterns of growth and decay, of life and death and balance and imbalance that happens. So that certainly was present in the work in the last show that I had at the Elizabeth Leach Gallery. And I think that with the work that's being hung this time, that reference is maybe just a little bit more literalized. So you can walk in and say, "Oh, there's the nature. I see it. There's a tree. It's a branch." You know, mm-hmm. but there is certainly a difference in some of the immediate, you know, visual elements. But in many ways, I think it really is an extension of a continuation of the same conversation.
Mm-hmm. The one of the first pieces you'll see is called Parasites, Prosthetics, Parallels and Partners, 2017. And what is this? Is this a print, a collage? What is this?
It's a little bit of both of those things. The technique that was used to actually create, you know, the physical materials that you're seeing was lithography. So very, very traditional, you know, printmaking technique that's been around for hundreds of years. This piece was actually published at the Tamarind Institute in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and they are a really renowned kind of center of printmaking publishers, and also have a great kind of educational program where they train master printers in the techniques of lithography. And so the images were created in lithography, and the traditional way maybe to work, or more typical way to work with printmaking, is to kind of come up with your image. You know, you draw your image on a stone, in this case lithography, it's drawing on stones, and then through various kind of processing steps, you're able to ink up the drawing on the stone and then transfer it to a piece of paper and repeat that process over and over again to get multiple copies that are exactly the same. And often that's, you know, the way that prints go out into the world, in this kind of series of multiples. And I have often engaged, and I'm doing that in this case, in printmaking as a means not necessarily to make multiple copies of the same thing and leave it there, but to use that multiple capacity in order to have many different copies that are also variable. You know, you can print it out in green and then print it out with a little bit more kind of rust color coming in, and then print it again a little bit darker. And so you have the same image, but varied with, you know, depending on how you kind of pursue the printmaking process. And then with those multiple kind of variable multiples, I'm then cutting those up and putting them back together, mm-hmm. kind of reconfiguring them in different ways. So that's what I've done here. I kind of created a few different images, images of trees, branches, trunks, images of architectural scaffolding, more kind of human-built structure, and then images of these kind of rock outcroppings.
Mm-hmm. And those are rocks?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought they were tree stumps. They have that kind of grooved pattern on the side.
They do. They do kind of look like that as well. I was out in New Mexico, where Tamarin is located and also is where I'm from originally, and there are some amazing... you really see the land there. There's not that much vegetation, you know, compared to out here or even out on the East Coast, just because there's not that much moisture. And that raw rock and those raw kind of geological configurations are really arresting. So mm-hmm. some of those forms actually come from, you know, the landscape out there. And so I have basically these playing pieces. It's like a puzzle piece with mm-hmm. no right answer. And they're all lined up, and then I can start putting them together and say, oh, hey, this fits here nicely, this goes together with that nicely, because I have these cut up prints and can put them together in different configurations. So this whole series of work that has kind of the umbrella title of Parasites, Prosthetics, Parallels, and Partners is a series of works that were made out of the same printed elements, but configured, each piece is configured in a different mm-hmm. and unique way.
So it looks like these sort of rocky stump kind of boulders with a big gnarly tree coming out, and mm-hmm. then there are two kind of parts to the tree. Well, they join up in the air, and then there's sort of girders and things that look like tower crane, that kind of crisscross metal structure in there. Now, what elements are you moving around the most? Is it like the big tree trunk kind of anchors the picture and then everything moves around it, or how do you move things?
The nice thing about this whole process is that it's so fluid. You know, when you make a drawing, the way that I draw with, you know, often pen and ink on paper, there's a real permanence. Once you put the ink down on the paper, you can't erase it, you can't move it. You know, you got to start over on a new piece of paper if you don't like the way it looks. And with this kind of collage technique, you place that big element, that trunk, and put things around it, and then you say you don't like it there. Well, you just pick it up and scoot it over.
Is that physically on a, mm-hmm. it's on a horizontal surface? You're not using a computer for this bit.
No, this is all very, right. very manual, very analog. Yes.
On paper, you're like moving around with your fingers?
Yes.
Do you wear any gloves or anything?
No. You got to wear gloves once it's all finished, and then people really treat these things very carefully. It's finished artwork, you know.
Yeah. Right.
But, you know, no, as I'm making it, I do work often even on the floor. This is a fairly large scale.
This is big, 65 inches by 45.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, if I have a table that's really large, I work on a table. And if I don't, then I just spread out some white paper on the floor and kind of work on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
So it really is, it's a very physical relationship to the assembly. It's a very, you know, it's got to be visual, physical, and it is analog. I mean, there's so many amazing digital tools also, and I've started to learn how to use some of those for different types of work, but in this case, it's really very hands-on. And so it does, it moves around and evolves, and I think you're right. I mean, in this case, that gnarly trunk sitting on that pile of kind of rock outcropping boulder mass is certainly the central visual part. But as I was putting them together, I was really thinking a lot about how the different branches, how the different, you know, girders, scaffolding interact. And the title really is... you know, is indicative of the way that I was kind of thinking about these elements responding to one another in a way that's not fixed. You know, it could be seen as one, it could be seen as another. They're parasitic. You know, what is parasitic? What's growing on the other thing? Is this the scaffolding kind of hanging on to or strangling this really beautiful, poor victim of a natural thing? Yeah, you could understand it that way. Mm-hmm. Is it something, is it a prosthetic? Is there in some way kind of a natural extension growing out of this architectural, architectural structure or vice versa that could be seen as a positive extension and kind of a new direction or a support to something that's already there? Is it just a mirroring of one in the other in the way that so many of our built structures are so informed by the way that nature has built things, you know, has grown things, or are they partners in this? And I think that there's a lot of both hope for a positive interaction and also a lot of doubt, you know, can this be a positive interaction? Is it more parasitic? Is there something that's essentially a more kind of a tension-ridden relationship between these two things that are at once distinct and also very much a part of one another.
Mm-hmm. What's that black thing at the bottom?
Oh, it's more rocks. It's just printed on a darker sheet of paper.
I thought it was a black bear cub.
No, I'm not going that hippie on you yet.
My name's Joseph Gallivan. You're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week is Nicola Lopez. Her show Hybrids is on July 17th through August 31st at the Elizabeth Leach Gallery on 9th Avenue in the Pearl. Some of this work is ink on paper, which is kind of the opposite of what we've been talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the no return. If you make a mistake, you got to start again on a fresh piece of paper. Ghost number one is 2019, so you just made this. And it's looks like a negative. You know, the tree is white. Mm-hmm. The background is mostly black. Just tell me how you drew this.
Yeah, so it's a very different process, as you said. You know, where the pieces that we just were speaking about are kind of undetermined from the beginning. You know, they're these puzzle pieces, and then I can kind of play around with how they are configured. Ultimately, these drawings are images that are set down directly on paper and then kind of filled out. So it's a different process, and ultimately, in some ways, the visual result is similar. The visual elements are similar in that there also are trees and this intersection with this kind of architectural, technological, mechanical even structure. But the process is in some ways more, you know, there's a rigidity to the permanence. Once you put it down, it's there. Which isn't to say that you can't work with things and allow that trace of history and even those traces of changes to become part of the drawing. And I think you do see some of this if you're looking at it face to face. You do see some places where you could see it as a mistake or a misstep, or you could just see it as part of the history. And I think exposing that history and exposing the way that things evolve in sometimes imperfect trajectories is you know, part of the conversation. And, you know, the way that you go out and you see, you know, a tree that has kind of a scar in the bark, it's part of its history. You know, it's rare that you see a pristine steel girder. It's always got some, you know, scratch or dent or, you know, and this is part of its evolution. So I think in drawing the physical process of making it echoes, you know, the physical process of the way things are in the world. So there's just a slightly different relationship of mm-hmm. medium to content.
But are these quicker? Do you do these in a day kind of thing?
Oh, no, I don't think that there's almost anything that I ever do in a day.
But you sit down with graphite pencil and draw the tree, mm-hmm. and then you add the ink.
I did. Is in this right? case, yeah, in this case I did. And I, you know, I don't have, as we're kind of talking through the work in this show, it's probably pretty evident that I like working in different mediums. And so I like working in prints, you know, more traditional edition prints, in collage, in installation work, in drawings, you know, directly ink or graphite or mixed media on paper. In the last show that I had, I also had some video work. And sometimes these shifts between mediums are ways to access different conversations. I think, you know, there's so much content that's contained in any given medium itself, and the way that an artist interacts with that, you know, from kind of its reference to mass, you know, production, for example, in printmaking, to what we were just speaking of, this kind of relationship of permanence and history through these kind of mistakes that become that one has to embrace in a drawing because it is permanent. You don't get to reshift it around. There's so much content in the process and in the medium, and that's shifting between mediums for me is a way to access those different conversations. And it's also just it's a change of pace. And I think artists have all different ways of making work and engaging in their kind of daily studio lives. And for me, one of the things that really keeps me engaged is working in different ways and is kind of flexing a different muscle in some ways, a different way of thinking about things, of a different set of challenges. Even down to the fact that, you know, these drawings were produced in my studio. I drew them. It was me and the paper and the ink, and that was it. Mm-hmm. And so it's a much more direct, almost intimate space. Some of the other works in the show being published at, you know, Tamarin Institute, or there's another suite of prints that were made at the Leroy Neiman Center for Print Studies at Columbia University in New York. They're all done with teams of people. You know, so I'm there, I have my kind of intimate moment as I'm creating the imagery, but I'm working in collaboration with other printers, with master printers, with people who are assisting in making it happen. And there's a very different conversation that unfolds. And, you know, as a person, I really thrive as I shift between these different modes of, you know, of studio making.
A very different looking piece is called Sunsets and Blue Skies, Cloud Gazing, and it's got color in it. It's got like color photo in the background.
It does.
A blue sky with a bit of cloud, but it's basically a big square, kind of a matrix with tree, like dark, kind of wintry tree outlines on it. And there's a lot going on here, but I would point out it looks a lot like the Portland sign, which is the Honor Burnside Bridge here. It's got that kind of skeletal look. Also looks like a lighting rig that you would see at a concert these days, these big mm-hmm. steel rigs with lots of LEDs. But this is kind of a complicated... You made this in many layers, so just talk us through. You have a blue kind of photo in the background, but it's not where the middle of the image is. So... What's the process called? This is a print, by the way.
Yeah, it's a print, and these are editioned prints. So this is kind of engaging in almost more traditional, in some ways, you know, process that we were talking about earlier, where it is they're editioned. There's kind of a figuring out of how to make the image, and then repeating those steps in exactly the same way to make multiples that are exactly the same, and then those go out into the world. And the nice thing about that is that they can go to different places. You know, you can have one on your wall, I can have one on mine, and you know, you can...
Can I interrupt and ask about the economics of that? Is there pressure to make multiples to sell, you know, to make more money from the same piece of work?
Ironically, it's probably the opposite. I think prints have, you know, historically been a way to put more copies out into the world. You know, and some people talk about printmaking as a democratic medium, in the sense that it's not one thing that can then be owned by only one person, and you know, and ownership is limited. It can be something, you know, prints can be reproduced and you know, put out into the world by the hundreds, thousands. You know, it depends on what kind of matrix you're printing from and how long that holds up. But there is something about the medium that is much more accessible. You know, fine art prints are often editioned. It's a limited edition so that there's a number put on it so that somebody who wants to buy it can say, okay, how many are there in the world? Because if there are 2 million of these, you know, I'm not going to pay as much as I would if there are only 10.
When you sat down to do Sunsets and Blue Skies, the name of the series, what were you thinking? How many copies? What's the gallery going to say? Were you thinking about that?
No, stuff? I was thinking about making the image. I was thinking about making the works and less concerned with what's going to be editioned or what the edition size is. And that's something that usually comes afterwards. And then, you know, and different places have different kind of priorities. Do we want to make a lot of these? Do we want to make few? Do we want to make, you know, and yes, it does. It influences the price, but it also influences how many you can have out there in the world. It also is determined in some cases by how complicated these are. How many copies do we really want to make? You know, how many times do we really have to print this up and put them together?
So there's that too. This is a hard thing to print, right? Just tell us how the photo gets on the paper.
Yeah, so this is the basic technique is kind of in the family of intaglio, which is the way that it's printed out. It's using the main image is on a copper plate. And so it's using different techniques, using acids to etch into the plate, using kind of tools to just scrape into the plate to get an image onto the plate. You ink it up and then you wipe it off, and then it goes through the press and with a sheet of paper on top of it, and the image is transferred to the paper. So that is the basic printing technique called intaglio. In this case, as the plate is run through the press, we're putting another sheet of paper on top of that copper plate, a very thin mulberry paper. So it's almost like a tissuey paper. And that paper was printed with a digital image. So it was already run through an inkjet printer, you know, archival ink. So it really, you know, it's color fast. And then that's cut out and fit right on top of the etching plate. A little bit of glue is put on the back. And then this heavier cotton rag paper is placed on top. It runs, the whole sandwich runs through the press. And then you lift up that cotton rag paper, and the digitally printed mulberry paper is really securely just pressed in there. And then the etched image is impressed on top of everything. So you have this kind of multiple layer, multiple processes, multiple layers of imagery sandwiched in, you know, on top of kind of one sheet of paper ultimately. And then in this series of works, I used a laser cutter, which is something that I haven't really used in this way before, and was really fun to print with or to play with. And in this particular image, cloud gazing, that whole print process that I just described happened. The paper was lifted off, it was dried, and then that whole sandwich was put inside of a laser cutter machine. And then it's digitally driven. So this kind of file in the computer tells the laser where to cut. Mm-hmm. And it cut out a very fine kind of filigree pattern in the print that creates the final layer of imagery, which is that structure that you were referring to that is reminiscent of a big lighting rig or other things. In this case, I was actually using images that I have taken. I take a lot of photographs just as I'm out there in the world of things that I find interesting. And I have a lot of photographs of billboards. Mm-hmm. It's billboards without any imagery
on them.
So it's
like a naked billboard. You just see the scaffolding.
That's right.
And in this case, did the laser just see what you'd done and cut around it, or did it cut its own lines and make things new shapes?
It's cutting the lines that the computer is telling it to cut, and it's very carefully synced up so that it knows exactly where to make these incisions in a way that they fit with the previously printed image.
Mm-hmm. It's a very startling image of a tree, you know, it's like you're looking through a wintry tree, but it's a big square and it's perched against a blue sky. I've not seen anything like it before.
I was thinking about, so it's the tree and it's this billboard, but the tree is contained within the billboard. So it's not exactly, you know, I feel like I've seen things before where you see, you know, a billboard behind a tree, or maybe a tree behind a billboard. There's this kind of melding of imagery, but here there's kind of a twist to it where the tree is actually part of the, you know, the tree branches are part of the billboard.
Mm-hmm.
They're part of that structure, or is the billboard kind of holding an image of the tree?
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's kind of complicating the relationship between these two different elements, similarly to the parallel, the prosthetics, parallels, partners, and parasites series. And, you know, hence kind of the overarching title of the entire show, this Hybrids, is really tapping into how each of these series of works explores this intersection. And, you know, Sunsets and Blue Skies, the title of this particular suite of prints, is also, it's a little bit tongue-in-cheek. You know, I think of Sunsets and Blue Skies as, you know, lovely things that you would find on postcards and kind of sweet and beautiful. And in these images, there are sunsets, there are blue skies, but they're a little bit ominous. You know, in another one of the same series called Storm Brewing, there's a billboard structure, so it's just the scaffolding structure with this kind of scraggly dead tree growing into, supporting, and also becoming part of.
So instead of the big steel girder that holds up a billboard, it's the trunk of a tree.
Right. So there's this meeting between these structures where, you know, one might be taking over the other, one might be advertised within the other, one might be decaying into its opposite, and there's also this kind of stormy sunset clouds nestled, you know, this image nestled inside of the billboard. So it's almost like a vision of something that's to come, in the way that billboards advertise, you know, things. It's kind of like a slightly dark portent.
So would you say you're more or less optimistic than you were here when you were here in 2014?
Probably a little bit less optimistic. I think there's a lot in the world that there are certain things that have changed very palpably, especially in the last couple of years. And I think that there are also a lot of things that maybe haven't changed that much but have become more evident. And on the positive side, have become much more a part of a wider mainstream conversation. There might be more awareness of certain things, but also just more evident how bleak a lot of our orientation towards the future looks right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a beautiful show, and it's up through the 31st, and it's good to have you back. You're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week was Nicola Lopez. Her show Hybrids is on now, July 17th through August 31st, at the Elizabeth Leach Gallery. Thanks for coming back to KBOO, Nicola.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks so much for having me back.
Andy Warhol looks a scream. Had him on my wall. Andy Warhol, silver screen. Can't tell them apart at all.
KBOO Community. Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of The Rad Trads on Wednesday, July 17th, 9 p.m. at the Doug Fir Lounge in Portland. The Brooklyn-based five-piece Rad Trads play nostalgic rock with soul and a horn section. They're touring around their On Tap record. Again, that's The Rad Trads on Wednesday, July 17th, 9 p.m. at the Doug Fir Lounge, 830 East Burnside Street in Portland. This is a 21 and over event. More information can be found at kbu.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Sun Ra Orchestra live Monday, July 15th and Tuesday, July 16th at 8:30 p.m. at the Hollywood Theater in Portland. Just back from their European tour celebrating band director Marshall Allen's 95th birthday, the 15-member Sun Ra Orchestra will play two shows of experimental cosmic jazz and improvisational music. Again, that's the Sun Ra Orchestra, Monday, July 15th and Tuesday, July 16th at 8:30 p.m. at the Hollywood Theater, 4122 Northeast Sandy Boulevard in Portland. More information can be found at kbu.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.